Okay, I'm going to talk about some what I call livestock interference legislation around the country, what's going on, what the legislation talks about, and kind of what's driving it and what it does and what it doesn't do. I've got up there at least 8 states, and you'll notice if you can count, there's only 7 listed. I can count because I made the change this morning. I forgot to change the number. But at least 8 states have passed legislation revolving around livestock interference. And I got the states listed there: Montana, North Dakota, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, Utah, and Tennessee. Tennessee's got till Friday for the governor to veto it, so that one I'm hopeful. There's been a whole bunch of other states that have also considered such legislation that hasn't passed in those states yet. And a lot of those that probably won't this year, but the legislation's up, been discussed. So the question comes up, what's going on with it? First of all, I wanted to put out there is a federal law out there that revolves around this livestock interference enterprise, and it's called an animal enterprise interference. And it's mainly was passed to do the laboratory animals and that type of thing, but it does affect farms, and it can be used in farming operations. And without going through too much detail on it, basically it says if you cause property damage, or if you put people in reasonable fear of death or seriously bodily injury, then you're violating the federal law. Let's see. Kind of what it does, if you can get, if the damages are $10,000 or less, you can get up to a year imprisonment. If it's $100,000 or less, you can get 5 years imprisonment. If it's more than $100,000, you can get up to 10 years. If it's up to $1 million, you can get 20 years in prison. And if you cause a death, you can get life in prison. So it does have some pretty stiff penalties to it that can be used. As far as I'm aware, this has not been used yet, but it's available, and it's something you should be aware of. What do most of these legislative initiatives do? They don't all have the same thing, but they all tend to have basically the same aspect to them. Most of them prohibit employment by false pretenses. Most of them make it illegal to falsify your employment applications. That's basically, I hear people talk about, well, you know, if I put one wrong thing down, usually the legislation talks about a material. It's got to be a substantial falsification. And then also, a lot of them have on there that if you commit an act not authorized by the employer, or you're acting outside your scope of employment, then that's illegal. Some of the states that have passed the legislation ban outright the recording of images or sounds at agricultural operations. Some states make it illegal to commit, aid, abet such recordings, so they have vicarious liability, and I'll get in a little more detail on some of those later on. And then some of them say you can't harbor, aid, or conceal that person with intent to prevent their apprehension. So it means you can't help them escape either. What they don't do, and that's why I get really upset when I hear the terms ag gag, because I think that is a derogatory misnomer that the opposition uses to try and discredit this legislation. None of these legislative acts prevent the reporting of animal abuse. In fact, most of them require you to report the abuse. None of them prevent whistleblowing. So how you can come to the conclusion that this is an ag gag bill when I have to report something is beyond my comprehension. I just really kind of get upset when I hear the term ag gag, because that is exactly what it is not. Okay, reasons given by the opposition, and I say opposition animal rights groups, which obviously I'm not a member of, but here's the ones I see them when I see them out in the public talking about these things. These are the ones I hear them come up with. You must have something to hide if you're for such legislation. I've got a right to know how my food's produced. If I can see how animals are abused, I'm trying to prevent foodborne illnesses and it results in food recalls. I have a First Amendment right to free speech. These videos have led to criminal charges being filed. I need these videos to establish a pattern of abuse, and I need to force investigators to investigate. Without these videos, the authorities just won't do anything. So I want to go through each one of these and talk about each one of these from my perspective. Okay, the first one I always hear, well, you must have something to hide. Well, we don't. I hopefully you don't have anything to hide. Most farmers have nothing to hide. And again, I want to emphasize, none of these legislative acts prevent the reporting of animal abuse. In fact, they almost all require the reporting of the animal abuse. Businesses do have an expectation of privacy, though. I mean, just because you're out there doesn't mean you should have to open your doors. There is some rights of privacy within your businesses. The other problem is most, if not all, in fact, everyone I have seen, the videos have been altered from their originals. They aren't depicting what's actually out there. And in fact, the majority of the videos I've seen don't depict any abuse at all. They depict things that those groups may not like, but it's not animal abuse by any definition. The problem is that most people don't understand normal animal husbandry practices. They think something's abusive when it's normal, it's not affecting the animal in a negative way, but they don't understand it. And the other problem is a business should have some basic due process rights to address what's being said about them. And most businesses do not have that ability to do that from these videos. Okay, why not open up your facilities? I know in our business, we have some pretty severe biosecurity measures. We have farms with 3 and 4 million chickens on them, and if a couple of chickens get sick, the whole farm gets wiped out. That's a huge investment. I'm talking millions, multi-millions of dollars. Many hog operations have the same thing. There's biosecurity measures. So I get asked all the time, why not have webcams in your facilities? We have webcams in a lot of our facilities. And immediately, the response we got back from them, yeah, but you put those webcams to hide everything. You can't see everything. It doesn't matter where we put the webcams. We're hiding something. They have not been effective from the standpoint that the people that are opposed to these type of livestock operations, that nothing we do satisfies them from that. You're still hiding something, no matter if you can see everything. And I come back and they say, well, let's put webcams in the slaughterhouses. And I come back and say, well, okay, let's put them in schools. Let's put them in hospitals. Why don't we have webcams every place? If we got a right to see stuff, I want to see everything from everybody. I interact with people all the time. I should have a right to know what you're doing in your office. Well, you know, talk about Big Brother. That just gets kind of ridiculous to the point that that's not really what they're after anyway. They're trying to stop something, and they think showing pictures will do it. Okay, I've got a right to know where my food is. Actually, you don't. There is no constitutional right to know where your food came from. It just does not exist. However, people will say, well, I do have a trust issue there, which I'll talk about later on, but the fact is you don't have a right to know where your food came from. If you want to know exactly where your food came from, grow it. It's kind of simple. You do have a right to correct information, though. and you do not have a right to agenda-driven misinformation, and that's what most of these groups are trying to do, is give you misinformation, and you don't have, they do not have a right to give misinformation out. One of the things I keep bringing up is that livestock operations in the U.S. are already one of the most regulated industries in the U.S. I know on our farms we have, I can't even count all the agencies, but I know on a regular basis we have USDA, FDA, EPA, OSHA, and I'm probably missing a couple others, but we have a half dozen government agencies on our farms on a daily basis. Talk about regulations, and we're dealing with regulations constantly. We're already extremely regulated. So to say that these things are out there with nobody looking at us is absolutely ridiculous. Let's see. And then my last one. This is the thing I start pushing back on. They say, I want to see where my food's produced. Well, the fact is very few people eat things directly off the farm. Almost everything that comes off the farm goes someplace else and is inspected. I come back and say, most of you eat in restaurants. Why aren't you demanding webcams in the kitchen of restaurants? If you want to know how your food's prepared, watch where your food's prepared. It's not prepared on the farm. Go see where it's prepared. None of them are asking for this. And I just say, why aren't we going that route? If you really want to know where your food's produced and how what you're eating, go to where it's actually prepared. The other claim that prevents foodborne illnesses. I can't find one single instance where animal abuse has resulted in a meat recall or a food recall. Not one. So this claim to me is completely bogus. And you got to keep in mind, animal abuse and food safety are two different issues. Just because there's animal abuse doesn't mean there's food safety. And to me, that's one of the things the animal rights organizations are really trying to push. If they can tie animal abuse and food safety together, they've won a big victory out in the public. And I think that's one of the things we have to really push back on is saying, look, these are two different issues. Animal abuse and food safety are not connected in the way they're trying to make it connected. For instance, the Hallmark thing, which we're going to have a lot more discussion on later on, they had a food recall, but the food recall was not tied to the animal abuse. It was tied to food safety violations of what was happening with the animals, but it wasn't the animal abuse. Sparbo eggs had a voluntary recall. It had nothing to do with animal abuse. The Wright County egg situation out of Iowa had absolutely nothing to do with animal abuse. There's none of these instances had to do with animal abuse. So the claims that they're preventing foodborne illnesses and that their videos have resulted in food recalls is just a bogus claim. Okay. Animal welfare and food safety. Let's talk about that a little bit more here. The concept is that animal welfare affects the food safety. According to many U.S. scientists, high animal welfare requires clean, healthy environments, adequate shelter, and protection from predators, which is what most people in agriculture try to do. Okay. However, almost half of Americans believe that animals must be allowed to exhibit natural behaviors to experience high levels of animal well-being. So you got half of the U.S. population out there believing, well, they have to exhibit some natural behaviors. Okay, those behaviors include ability to move around freely, access to outdoors, and opportunity to socialize with animals. Okay, the concept is that if you're allowed to exhibit natural behaviors, stress is reduced and the shedding of pathogens will be reduced, even though the scientific evidence isn't really strong on that. However, as most of you know, in agriculture, this concept becomes really muddled really quickly. The problem is, for instance, in free-range systems, sure, the animals are allowed to be outside and socialize. Pigs, I grew up similar to Tom on a farm that had We had pigs, chickens, cows, corn, beans, wheat, alfalfa. That was our farm, too. Probably were neighbors. But our pigs were allowed to wallow in the mud. The problem is mud's not real sterile. You know, and salmonella's there. There's lots of things in there. So, yeah, they're out there, but it's not a very sterile environment. So while people may think it's nice for them to do it, the problem is they're out there in a lot of pathogens. The hogs and other animals will come in with the feces of the other animals. They don't think about these aspects. There's wildlife, there's parasites, all these things not found on concrete floors. Sickness among hogs and chickens, which I'll talk about a little bit later, in free-range systems are higher than in the more confined systems. Other aspects, in 1940, over 50% of the hogs had lung or kidney worms. Today, it's extremely rare to find that. We talk about trichinosis. I remember growing up, boy, you got to cook that pork or you get trichinosis. You don't hear about that anymore. These diseases are gone because of the way we've treated our animals. In chickens, which I'm a little familiar with, sure, they can socialize, but the term pecking order comes from chickens. I mean, you talk about pecking order, and I don't know if you've ever seen a chicken peck to death, but it's not a pretty sight. It's a very cruel, inhumane way to die, and that's what happens. You also, if free-range systems, there's rodents. They have access to other feces out there. They're eating it. They pick up a lot of insects that can cause problems. The mortality rate's higher. Salmonella rate's higher in free-range eggs. You go to most egg producers, and they'll tell you, I'm not going to touch a free-range egg because it's going to have salmonella in it. Okay, let's go. I didn't really say it had salmonella. It may have salmonella in it. Let me back up. First Amendment right to free speech. Let's get into the constitutional issues they bring up. The Supreme Court has ruled that you do not have a right to gather news on private property or in private areas. They've ruled that already. Just because the Constitution gives you a right to free speech doesn't mean you have the right to intrude upon others' private property. There's also a thing called the Fifth Amendment, which says you have private property rights. You have no special privileges to invade the rights and liberties of others. And other federal courts have held that the First Amendment is not a license to trespass, to steal, or to intrude by electronic means into another's homes or office. So this First Amendment right to free speech is, yeah, you do have some right to free speech, but you don't have a right to intrude on everybody else to get it. Okay. There are several examples of where free speech is limited. For instance, you go into, it's federal law, you cannot videotape movies in a movie theater. Okay, so you already have one instance of where you can't videotape stuff. So there's this idea I should be able to videotape everything is a bunch of garbage because you can't do it in movie theaters. You can't go into computer hacking. There's a lot of instances. I can't do vending machines, insurance fraud, these type of things. There's a lot of prohibitions against free speech. We'll get into a little more of the constitutional issues in a little bit. A need to establish a pattern of abuse. This one, to me, I think the first time I heard it was about a year ago. And the first time I heard it, I thought, What are you talking about? What's this pattern of abuse? There is no such thing as a pattern of abuse. Abuse is abuse. You do it once, you do it 100 times, it's still abuse. There is no pattern to develop. You don't have a pattern of murder. Murder is murder. You don't have a pattern of theft or anything else. Theft is theft. There is no pattern of anything. You don't have to establish a pattern of anything. Doing it five times doesn't mean there's a pattern. It means you've done it five times. You've done it once. Most of these videos are held for months and months. Most of them have been edited, even though they claim they haven't been, they have been. And I keep maintaining, if you've got a real concern about animal abuse, it should be reported immediately, not months and months later. And the problem on a lot of it, and a lot of the videos I've seen, is abuse is different than animal husbandry. I saw one of the animal rights groups talking about how they break the beaks off of chickens. Well, we don't break the beaks off of chickens. We do burn off the tips. We de-beak them because they peck each other from the pecking order, which has been around for a few thousand years. So understanding the difference between animal husbandry and abuse is part of the problem. Okay, another thing is, well, these videos have led to criminal charges. Actually, the vast, vast majority of these videos have not led to criminal charges. Only a couple have. And in those cases where they have led to criminal charges, it's all been low-level employees. Okay, well, the Hallmark case is slightly different, but that will be discussed later. But it's all the low-level employees. A lot of these employees have been coerced and colluded and that type of thing. They've been falsely put into that light in many of these cases also. Let's just move on here. Let's go into, well, what's driven this legislation? Since 1998, over 80 undercover videos have been done at egg, pork, chicken, turkey, beef, dairy, duck, and fish farms across the U.S. Iowa's had the most undercover videos of any state in the nation. Typical undercover video. Usually they take hours of the video without the knowledge of anybody taking the video. The video's then edited down to a few minutes. And then months after it was taken, it's released to the public. It's not released to officials to investigate. It's released to the public for media attention. The vast majority of these videos are not given to proper authorities to carry out proper investigation. Now, this is changing, I've noticed, in the last 6 months or so. They're starting to give these to authorities because we keep raising this issue up. You haven't given these to the proper authorities to investigate. And if you've noticed very recently, they're starting to say, oh, yes, we give them to the authorities. That's just a very, very recent trend among the animal rights organizations. The vast majority of these videos were never given to anybody to investigate. They're just released out to the public. In a lot of the cases, by the time they release the video, the animals that they were filming aren't even there anymore. They've gone because you're talking 3, 4, 5, 6 months later that they release those videos. The animals have moved on, so the abuse they film actually doesn't even exist there anymore. Talked about the low-level employees being the charges being brought. The only food recall was the Hallmark case. There was a case up in Vermont, but again, those cases were not related to animal abuse. They were related to food safety violations, not animal abuse. So the videos to claim that I have to videotape to get the animal abuse for food recalls is completely bogus. Part of the problem is, many of these farms and companies have had severe reputational damage done to them. Some of them have had to shut their doors. Some of them are facing or near bankrupt today. They're really severe economic damage done to these farms. Most of these have no ability to counter false accusations. I was in an arbitration meeting a couple weeks ago, and the arbitrator came to me and he goes, well, you know, why don't you guys go ahead and let this press release go out and then let your PR department handle it? And I said, a PR department? We're a farm. We don't have a PR department. We have no way to tie into the media to say, here's how we're going to respond to this. Most of these people have no way to really effectively respond. Okay, what's driving the legislation? Part of it is to try and stop this reputational damage that's being done to farms. Part of it's to address the editing of videos. I was on a radio show with Wayne Pacelli of HSUS a year or so ago, and I kept bringing this up that you keep editing in these videos, and he kept saying, well, no, you don't. And I said, well, the fact that you took 3 hours of video, because they did it on one of our farms, you took 3 hours of video and made it down to 3 minutes, I said, you had to edit it. You can't take, you know, and Wayne's response to that was, well, but nobody wanted to watch 3 hours of that. And I said, Wayne, that's kind of the point. I mean, nobody wants to watch that. You have to edit it to even get anybody to even look at it. So that's the entire point. And again, the collusion of the participants in the video. Oftentimes, the guys taking the video encourages some of these lower level employees to go in there and do something so they can get something to film. They do it because they're being egged on by the guy taking the video. Okay, talk about protecting the animals. We need to take the stance that no farmer, we should never condone animal abuse. And anytime any of us see it, we need to step in and try and stop it. We should never condone it. We condone it, in my opinion, we're being very wrong. And it's got a lot of damage to the industry. If you suspect animal abuse, it should be reported to management so it can be addressed immediately and stopped. And again, what seems like abuse may not be abuse. It's probably normal animal husbandry practices. Let's go through and talk about what some of the statutes actually do. Kansas has a statute. It bans photographing, or videotaping at an animal facility with the intent to damage the enterprise conducted at the animal facility. Okay. Montana bans photography or videotaping in an animal facility with the intent to damage the enterprise and the intent to commit criminal defamation. So they upped the bar a little bit. It would require the undercover investigator to set out to misrepresent its operation. So the bar in Montana is set up a little higher than it was in Kansas. So you have to actually go out there to try and misrepresent, which most of them end up doing, but you have to meet that standard. North Dakota imposes liability for unauthorized use of recording equipment out of an animal facility regardless of intent. I like the North Dakota statute better. Iowa was one I was fairly involved in. They have an agricultural production facility fraud statute. It prohibits someone from obtaining employment at the agricultural production facility by false pretenses. Talks about making a material misrepresentation on your application form. And then, for instance, a material misstatement. On our application forms, we have on there, are you a member of an animal rights organization? And if they mark yes, for some reason, we don't hire them. But in the cases, we had an undercover video. The guy that took the undercover video marked no. That would be a material misrepresentation. The thing I want to really emphasize on the Iowa statute, and I want to encourage anybody that's working on this type of stuff in your states, is this last point, and that's vicarious liability. One of the things I really pushed for in Iowa and got was that if somebody's helping to conspire or helping to commit this illegal act, they can be held vicariously liable. The problem we had, and let me explain a little bit what happened, this guy comes in, and this is typical. They come in and do an undercover video. The guy doing it has absolutely no resources at all. I mean, this guy's broke. He's got nothing. That's all he does. He kind of wanders around the U.S. He does this at numerous other facilities. If I tried to go after him and won, I still get nothing. He's got nothing for me to go after. HSUS, on the other hand, has a fair amount of money. And so I wanted to go after them, but because we didn't have this statute, I had no way to go after them. They're the ones that use the video, but I had really no way to go after that organization. In Iowa, if they do it, I do now. I can go after HSUS because they helped, they aided and embedded in that undercover video. Now I can go directly after HSUS. So to me, this vicarious liability is the biggest part of this Iowa statute. Utah passed a statute, the Agricultural Operation Interference, prohibits willful and without consent recording images and sounds, obtaining access to the operation under false pretenses, recording images, knowing that you're prohibited from recording that, and without consent and while committing criminal trespass. So the Utah statute's pretty extensive, pretty all-inclusive, and covers most of the things that happen. Constitutional issues. Let's get into the constitutional discussion, because this is the one that keeps coming up. Every state that this legislation comes up to, is the groups are starting to bring up immediately, well, it's unconstitutional. Let's talk about what's constitutional and what's unconstitutional. Okay, your First Amendment right of free speech. It's not a complete right. You don't have a complete right to free speech. For instance, the old famous one is you can't go into a crowded theater and yell fire unless there actually is a fire. But if you go in there and scream fire and cause panic, the First Amendment does not protect that kind of speech. That's been well established for almost 100 years in the United States. You do not have a First Amendment right to film private property. The First Amendment does not give you that right. Again, the Fifth Amendment says it's private property rights. So you do not have a First Amendment right for that. You do not have a First Amendment right to fraudulently obtain video. Okay, fraudulently obtained video can result in liability. And you do not have a First Amendment right to access to information. Okay, that's your constitutional standard. However, the First Amendment does protect the publication of truthful information lawfully acquired. The case there was this guy took an undercover video of some operation. It wasn't a farming operation, it was another business. He took an undercover video. This media company, this TV station, showed the video, and they were sued. And the U.S. Supreme Court said in that case that they could not hold the media company because they, even though the video was taken illegally, they could go after the person that took the video. They couldn't go after the media company because they obtained that video in a legal manner. The guy gave it to them, which was legal for him to give to him. It was just illegal for him to take it. So they couldn't go after the media company, which I go back to the Iowa statute now and the vicarious liability, which makes that part of that statute so important. Now, this is the one thing that you need to be careful of in the states. A lot of the states require, a lot of the states that have been talking about these type of legislative moves says you if you take the video, you have to turn it over to proper authorities. Actually, that would be unconstitutional. The First Amendment does protect that. The First Amendment says that you cannot stop dissemination of the videos. Once those videos exist, people do have a First Amendment right to disseminate them. So what you have to do to make them constitutional is you can prevent them from taking the video. Once that video is taken, you cannot require them to do something with it. Okay, in summary, okay, so I was just saying, you can make illegal the filming of undercover videos. You can make it illegal to obtain employment under false pretenses. You can hold the person liable in obtaining those videos illegally. You can require the reporting of animal abuse. One I don't have on there, you can have, and again, the vicarious liability statute. You can make third parties liable that aided and abetted in obtaining those videos. However, employers, I would encourage employers to take some steps too. They should have a written policy. When anybody they hire, they should have a policy that says, I prohibit you taking videotape. All of our policies require our employees to understand you can't take videotape. You can't take recordings without permission. That's part of the employment process. You can ask, and you should ask, do you have ties to animal rights organizations? Do you support them? You have a right to ask that. But again, once that video is made, you cannot constitutionally stop the dissemination of that video. But that doesn't mean we stop whistleblowing, and that's why I again get really upset when I hear the term ag gag. We are not stopping whistleblowing. Almost every state has a whistleblower statute that protects whistleblowers regardless of these legislative moves. And most of the legislation I've seen, in fact, all of it requires them to report the abuse. It does not stop it. It encourages whistleblowing. So when I hear the term ag gag, I immediately respond back, it's not ag gag. That's a derogatory misnomer. Now, I want to get into the editorializing part of this a little bit. The image of agriculture, I'm going to throw this up. Most people think that's agriculture. The vast majority of the U.S. thinks that's agriculture today, and it's not. Agriculture today looks more like that. Okay? But they have that picture of it. And we go back in agriculture, and we have to have a mechanism within agriculture that the public allows us to them to trust us. I know Charlie Arnott's done a lot of work in this area and talks about a license. We have to have a social license from the public to operate, and I totally agree with that concept. And I hear all the time that, well, they just need to understand us. My response is, that's garbage. They don't need to understand us. We're less than 750,000 people produce 95% of the food in this country. You're talking 365 million people, and 750,000 produce the food. They don't need to understand us. We need to understand them. I go to farms all the time, and I hear them make fun of, well, so-and-so has dogs in the house. I can tell you there's a lot more dogs in the house than there are farms. There's a lot more cats in the house than there are farms. There are a lot more cats that sleep in people's beds than there are farms. A lot more. We need to understand them. They're buying our product. They're busy people, and they aren't going to want to understand what we do. I can put a bet, virtually everybody in here is tied into agriculture. I could put a bet that at least half of you know very little about my industry. Now, if you guys don't know about my industry, why would somebody living in the city want to understand that? They don't. They don't have the time for that. We have to make it so when they go to the store to buy it, buy our products, they trust it. They don't have to understand how it got there. They don't have to understand what I did. They have to understand and trust what I did made a good product for them. We have to start understanding, why do people like their animals the way they do? Why do they have the companion animals? I go to farms and I hear them talk about, well, did you see so-and-so had a dress, or they dressed up their dog? Instead of making fun of that, we better understand why they're doing that, because they're the ones buying our product. So I would reverse that and say, they don't need to understand us, we need to understand them. That's our only survival. They're never going to understand our industry. I hear Wayne Pacelli's new thing now is, well, we need to have a public discussion on these issues. I have no problem having a public discussion. My problem is when you go in there and do something illegal, to take videos to have an illegal discussion, I have a problem with that. But let's have a discussion. Let's start talking about why public should trust our product. Why agriculture does not look like this today is because animals got sick and died at a much higher rate than they do in these type of facilities. These animals are much healthier in that facility than they were in that facility. We need to start letting the public know what we're doing is good for the animals. We've gone to these type of systems because the animal health improved. Animal structures, animal socialization has improved. That's what we need to get out to the public, is this is a better system. Just trust us on this, and we've got to build that trust. With that, I'm going to quit. So open it up to questions. As far as I'm aware, not a single one of these statutes, nobody's ever been convicted under one. None of them's ever really been tested. If there ends up being 20 or 30 states that have these statutes, and they have particularly the ones where it says you can take the video, but you have to turn it over to authorities, you're going to start seeing those challenged on a constitutional basis. At least that part of the statute, in my opinion, will not likely stand up. But to this point, they're all new enough that nobody's been challenged on it. I think as we start expanding these out, keep in mind, you had basically two or three states that had these up until 2 years ago. So they're fairly recent. So there hasn't been any real opportunity to really challenge these. The good news so far has been in the states that have passed them, these undercover videos have stopped. But again, we get 30, 40 states passing these, and they're going to start getting challenged because you put these groups in too much of a corner. I think they're going to start responding back. That right now they're just kind of going around it.
Given that the webcams may not answer our strongest critics, do you feel there's a role in those to answer the uninformed audience, the great masses, as you're saying, that aren't farmers, that are just uninformed?
Yes. I think I'm not saying we shouldn't use webcams. Like I said, we have them. I know there's several in our industry that have the webcams. I think they're useful if people know they can go to the websites and see these webcams. I think it's very useful to let them watch the animals. I think it's extremely useful, a good educational tool, and I encourage farmers to use these because I think it does help immensely. I'm just saying it's not a complete answer to what the animal rights groups are saying, because they just say they don't work. But keep in mind, I know in our operation, trying to keep those webcams going is not the easiest thing on earth either. And that's part of my response back to them is, you know, hey, this adds to the cost of what it's doing to us, and somehow we have to pay for that. The technology, it takes some technological ability to do that. But yes, I do encourage the use of webcams.
Yes. Joe, thanks for your presentations. Awesome. I'm just wondering if you can give us the definition of animal abuse. You spoke about the ones that have been convicted, the low-level employees that have been convicted, and also the definition of animal neglect.
Oh, gosh, now you're putting me on the spot. It's a state definition, and the reason I can't I'm not going to be able to answer that. I can't give you the actual definition without looking it up, and I haven't looked at it for a little while. But each state is slightly different on how they define animal abuse, but most of them require that if the animal's harmed and not outside of normal animal husbandry practices, then it's animal abuse. But it's, I mean, you know it when you see it. Oh, you don't? Okay. We do. Well, that's correct, and that was what I was saying. They don't understand what the difference is, but that's not going to stop them. That's why it's important to get proper authorities involved in investigating is it animal abuse or not. Until the proper authorities investigate, it doesn't matter what you think it is or what they think it is, until somebody actually makes an actual definition of and looks at that situation and makes that determination. Yeah, so up here.
I was wondering if you'd care to comment on how drones might interface with all this.
Oh, gosh. Again, the First Amendment doesn't give a right for intrusion on private property. However, in criminal activities, let's see, boy, you're stretching my legal knowledge here. For instance, if I'm growing marijuana plants out in my backyard and a drone flies over and sees them, they can come arrest me. They can do that even though it's my backyard. On the other hand, most, in the poultry industry and pork industry, most of those animals are confined. So if a drone flies over a building, it's not going to see much of anything anyway. Beef operations have a slightly different thing, but if they're out in a feedlot, it's probably not animal abuse anyway. I don't see in the animal abuse area drones being a super big factor. In the environmental area, drones are going to become a big factor. Does that answer your question? Yeah, well, I don't particularly want drones flying over me, but I can't stop them. Get your guns out. You do have a right to shoot them down.
And be arrested.
Yeah, well.
Good morning. Can you tell me if you've looked at, and if so, do you have any comments you can share on the federal legislation that's been introduced on behalf of some members of UEP?
Of which I'm one. yes, he's talking about the ag legislation that's been introduced in Congress both last session and just was introduced this past week, as a matter of fact, into this session of Congress. I can talk about that a little bit because we're a member of UEP and support that legislation. And I know the opposition to that is that it opens the doors to HSUS, allows them to get into the legislative process of regulating how animals are taken care of. I would counter that in several ways. Number one, I don't think UEP caved into HSUS. I think HSUS caved into UEP. And I say that from the reason that HSUS does not want cages. This legislation puts cages in place, puts it in law. So from that standpoint, that's a huge cave-in on HSUS's part. It allows cages. The cages that we're talking about are cages that actually do help poultry production, help egg production. So they aren't cages that have no real reason, but they are helpful. We hear about the expense of putting these cages in. Well, the legislation allows a 20-year phase-in, and in the next 20 years, every egg producer in the United States has to, with or without this legislation, replace their facilities. That the lifespan of an egg barn is 20 years. So we're going to have to replace it anyway. So this tells us what we can replace it with. The problem we're having in the egg industry, and it's somewhat unique from the rest of livestock, and this gets back to my point that a lot of you don't understand the egg industry and you want everybody else to understand agriculture. We sell our products directly to the retailer. We don't have middlemen. We don't sell eggs to slaughterhouses who then process and sell it to retailers. We sell directly to retailers. Our problem is California passed a law, Oregon, Washington State, Michigan, and Ohio have passed laws. All five of them have different size cage requirements. We ship eggs into Southern California, and our retailers have big distribution centers that go to three and four states, all with different requirements. They can't segregate them. We can't make farms that make the different size cages, which are all usually 2 to 3 inches difference in cage size. And so what this legislation does is just simply say, all the cages can be the same size. We can ship to every state. I go back and say that these legislative moves by these states are nothing but violating the Interstate Commerce Clause. And all the federal legislation is doing is validating the Interstate Commerce Clause of the Constitution. So, and I know pork producers are very opposed to this legislation. My response to them is 50% of the pork in the U.S. already is produced in gestation-free crates. You're losing the battle. Our company alone spent $5 million fighting California. We lost. 2-3, 2-3 to 1, we lost. We spent a fortune on this. We cannot beat them in the legislation on a state-by-state basis. They're killing us. So our response is, let's get something that we know we can operate under for the next 20 years that allows us to operate with cages. It doesn't increase our costs. It increases it 1 cent an egg. And we can operate for the next 20 years with some certainty. Right now, we have no way. Nothing's been built in the egg industry in the last 2 years because none of us know what to build. We have no idea what to put in. And each of those houses costs $5 million. So the last thing we want to do is put a $5 million house up and then have some state pass a law that says, well, you can't use it. So we're trying to put some certainty into the legislation. If that's a good explanation, that's my response to it.